What is the Chicago Urban League, Mr. Williams?
Let me begin by answering what is the Urban League movement and why it came into being. With this bit of background, you will better understand your Chicago Urban League.
A bit of history, eh?
Yes. The Urban League movement is the concerted effort of white and Negro people of goodwill to achieve two fundamental objectives. These are to bring about better understanding between our white and Negro citizens in the cities, and to help us Negro people who now live in these cities effectively and constructively to find our way into the mainstream of the economic, political, and cultural life of our new habitat. The Urban League movement has been at this job ever since 1910, when the movement was started back in New York.
Well, now, the Civil War ended in 1865. That's 45 years before the Urban League movement got going. Would you please explain the delay?
Social scientists differ as to why there was no mass migration of us from the rural South immediately after the Civil War. Personally, I side with those historians who hold that we Negro people respond to the basic urge, where best can we provide for our fundamental need for food, clothing, and shelter? In other words, find jobs.
I see.
Before 1910 and the years immediately thereafter, the North offered us little in the way of employment. Service jobs mainly, and not too many of them. I believe it was deliberate. Why? Because meanwhile, Northern industries were expanding. We were rapidly turning from a debtor or agricultural nation into a creditor or manufacturing nation. Our mines and mills needed labor, but they needed also to preserve intact the best market there was for the products of Northern industry. That market was the agricultural South, whose economy or way of life was based on cotton, which, in turn, was based on and had to have an abundance of unskilled labor. We Negro people supplied that mass Southern need. Northern industry was meeting its labor need by employment of immigrant labor from Europe. Then came World War I. Emigration dropped and finally was cut off completely. Meanwhile, the demands on our mills and transport systems became the greatest ever. Workers were needed. Where were they to be found? In the cotton fields of the South, black workers. Jobs hitherto closed to us were wide open. The first migration was on.
Well, now tell us more about how and why the Urban League movement was started.
The movement started with the first noticeable migration to the North. There was already a framework of social services, but for historical reasons, their operators were intellectually and emotionally unprepared and unwilling to make these services available to us.
Well, now, what made for this intellectual block?
Primarily, it stemmed from the welter of propaganda laid down against us by the spokesman for the slave system. They had a vested interest. They not only determined every facet of Southern life, but forced their views into the textbooks and classrooms of Northern secondary, collegiate, professional, and graduate schools.
That's a bad situation. What about the emotional unpreparedness of the social workers toward Negro migrants?
Well, in the light of the intellectual history I've just cited, you can imagine the emotional and psychological patterns of behavior social agencies of that era showed toward us. They simply did not care to have us around. We disturbed their souls, their professional sensibilities. For, despite the propaganda, most of the staffs of these agencies knew that we were normal human beings in every respect. These social workers saw little if any difference between us and the immigrant peasants. They, these European immigrants, and we, Negro migrants, were simply people possessing no knowledge of city life.
Yes, I can see what you're talking about. Those social agencies were in a quandary.
You bet they were, but I prefer to call it a dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
The Urban League and many other forces have helped American social work to get off the horns of this dilemma and on the right side. Today, most social agencies now quite readily serve Negro clients.
Well, do you mean to infer that the Urban League takes care of all the welfare needs of the Negro community?
By no means. We prevail on the other agencies to make their services available to Negro persons. It's a sort of planning and checking job that we do with them.
Well, Mr. Williams, Is Chicago now perfectly or reasonably democratic in the matter of making all its social services available to the Negro community?
Well, Mr. Mountain, you'll have to distinguish between the public and private social agencies.
All right. First, about the public financed agencies.
Most of them are all right.
And the private services?
Well, except for the hospitals and homes for boys and girls, I have not heard many complaints. With regard to race relations, most of our Chicago private hospitals are extremely backward. In conjunction with our Chicago Metropolitan Welfare Council, Community Fund, Commission on Human Relations, and many, many other organizations, the Urban League is trying to bring them around. We are encouraged by the going practice in our Jewish hospitals. They are right on this question. So are a few other private hospitals.
Well, now, I'm sure the League does more than just plan and check, doesn't it?
Yes, we do. We have a small industrial department consisting of 7 workers whose main job is to help Negro workers to stabilize or safeguard the gains they made during the war. That is the job gains.
Mm-hmm.
To help open up new job opportunities for Negro workers. To help Negro workers through labor and management to work most effectively with their fellow white employees. And to help sell employers and the total community on the need for and wisdom of the adoption and execution of the principles of fair employment practices.
Would you be just a bit more specific about the work of the League's industrial department?
Happily. It interviews applicants with skills and seeks to find them jobs in keeping with their abilities. Since our staff is small and our facilities limited, and since beyond this we are all taxed to maintain a public employment service, the League does not do mass and routine placements. However, we do work closely with the State Employment Service to see that Negro workers get a fair shake. Most of this department's time, however, and energies are consumed in working on new employers, like our Loop department stores, in an effort to persuade them to hire Negro workers, and in the case of the few who have made this fundamental step toward redemption, to have them upgrade their Negro employees solely in accordance with their abilities. Isn't it a pity that what other Americans expect and get as a matter of right, we Negro workers have to beg and fight for?
It is indeed, Mr. Williams. Look, I've heard about the League's Community Organization Department. What's its function?
Well, you remember the old biblical saying about man not living by bread alone, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Well, in our attempt to help Negro workers become urbanized, our responsibility to them does not cease with finding jobs for them. They must have houses to live in. That's a major problem, as you know.
Oh, yes.
The stimulated resistance of certain communities to our moving in is presenting Chicago today with its most serious cause of tension between white and Negro citizens. But back to the routine functions of this department. It works with the residents to help improve their living conditions.
Well, what other major departmental activity do you have at the League?
There's our public education department. Its function is to interpret the Negro community to itself and to the general community, to interpret the general community to the Negro community, and to interpret the functions of the League in this two-way process.
Well, what's your total staff?
18, including the caretaker.
Oh.
10 professional and 7 clerical workers.
That certainly is not too many when one considers the fact that Chicago's Negro population is about 500,000.
You bet. To do this job that's needed to be done in a genuinely acceptable manner would require a staff 5 times our present one. And, of course, a budget 6 times our present 1950 budget.
Well, what is your 1950 budget?
Roughly $90,000.
Who supervises the expending of this budget?
A board of directors composed of 25... white and Negro members of goodwill. And final review rests with the Community Fund, which underwrites 1/2 of our operating budget.
I see. Well, where does the rest of your budget come from, Mr. Williams?
The League rounds out its budget through the generous individual contributions of its many friends, Negro and white, Protestant and Roman Catholic, Jewish and Gentile, business and labor, but most of all from a host of ordinary people of goodwill. The Urban League both invites and welcomes you into its big family of members. For further information, drop a card to the Chicago Urban League, 3032 South Wabash, Chicago 16, Auto Station WMAQ.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.